Now, when I said we could get the ladies back by wearing those shirts for the next 6 months, I was joking. Now, we have visitors coming in. They don't know context. They're going to think Walmart's had a sale with blue and white checkered shirts. But it is good to be here this evening. Hope you had a good day, especially again to the fathers that are here. Happy Father's Day, and hope you had a wonderful day. I know that I did. This evening, we're going to be back in Philippians. And if you've noticed, we've been kind of visiting Philippians several times in the last couple months. And so I want to do this one more lesson here in Philippians, probably. This might be the last one here. I hadn't fully decided. Such a great book, such a wonderful place to study. Just a couple things to think about first. You know me, I love good quotes. And what I don't like is when I forget to turn my mic on. There we go. Now, we're trying something new. That might be the problem. Normally, I put it over here in this pocket. You know, it kind of cuts out sometimes. And John might have figured it out, how I stick my hand in my pocket. I might be muting the mic, so it might be my fault. So we're going to try the back pocket and see if it doesn't cut out on us. Some quotes here. Mainly from Satchel Paige. A lot of people know who he is from quite a long time ago. He's attributed with such sayings as, "Don't pray when it rains if you don't pray when the sun shines." One of my other favorites is, "How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are?" And then, of course, one you see on the screen concerning not looking back. He said, "Don't look back. Something might be gaining on you." You know, when we talk about the Christian walk, the Christian race, right, we're told in the scriptures, Hebrews 12, verse 1, that we have this race of endurance before us, right? And so we're given that imagery of our Christian walk in that sense. And if we want to run our race successfully, right, we need to, you know, be like that athlete, that runner, spiritually speaking, and not look back. And if you picture a runner, you know, and you picture maybe the Olympics or track and field, you know, when the runners are running, you never see them look behind them, right? And they don't look behind them for several reasons. It slows them down, it breaks the stride, and it encourages the adversary. And so that's why you never see him looking back. And it's the same thing in our Christian race that we're running. Right? Same thing. It can hurt us in three important ways. As Paul talks about, you know, hey, one thing I do is I forget those things that are behind me. In other words, he's not looking back, right? Because the same thing's true. It'll slow you down in your race. It'll break your stride, if you will. And it encourages the adversary. And so we're going to be mindful of that. And you know, we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, our scripture reading that we just had a minute ago. And kind of impress upon us, we're looking at this text here, we're going to have three main points. Right? If we want to be successful, don't look back, but rather, Paul says, press forward. Right? He says, reach forward to those things which are ahead, press toward the mark, or your translation might say the goal, for the prize, or the upward call. You know, press towards your goal, your finish line, right? Because if you look back, you just might lose your race. And we need to be mindful of that, you know. Listen, what's behind you is behind you. Right? Your past life outside of Christ, mistakes, all of that, that's behind you. And again, mentioning Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, right? We're to run this race of endurance that's been set before us, right? We don't want to look back. If you look at verse 13 again, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead." And what's interesting is the word "forget" here literally means, or carries the idea in the original language, of no longer being influenced by the past. And how true that should be. So we're going to look at three people, groups of people here that we're guilty of looking back so we can learn from their mistake and not do what they did, and so that we can run this race with endurance. And by the way, by way of application here in this lesson, we need to do some self-examination, right, and see if we're guilty of looking back and not pressing forward towards the mark, our goal, our finish line. So, number one, don't be guilty of looking back like Israel. Israel was guilty of looking back with a faulty memory. If you go back to Numbers chapter 11, you know, and memories can be a funny thing. You know, we can actually change our memories when influenced by our current wants and desires. You know, you ever have an argument with your spouse? And they'll remind you of something in the past, and you're like, that's not true. You're making that up. Right? And, you know, you said, I don't remember that. Or someone in the, our kids do it all the time. Hey, Dad, remember when you did this? I'm like, no, you're making that up. So either I'm erasing those memories or they're creating new memories that I don't think happened, right? But, you know, we're kind of guilty of changing our memories when we're influenced by our future wants and desires. And that's just the way it is. Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to the intense craving. That was their immediate desire right there, what they wanted. So the children of Israel also wept again, saying, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish, which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes, right? Now remember what their goal is, their mark, it's getting to the promised land, right? The land of milk and honey. But they took their eyes off the goal, right, due to their present wants and desires. And, you know, Israel was looking back, only remembering the good in their Egyptian slavery, right? They weren't remembering the slavery and the pain, and, you know, Egypt was killing their children, right, all the males. Right? They're not thinking back to that. They're thinking about cucumbers. Right? And so the thing is, we can be guilty of looking back and, you know, and creating a faulty memory, you know, selective memories, seductive memories. You know, I did this for many years when I got out of law enforcement. Probably 20 years after I got out, I'm like, you know what? I'd like to do that again, right? And I remember all the exciting stuff, the interesting stuff, and, you know, I was guilty of looking back at, you know, the things that I liked about it, right? I did this with military, too. Blocking out, thankfully I had Christy to remind me of these things, you know, blocking out just the terrible pay and the long hours and, you know, your days off, getting called to court, which was not paid. You know, all the hard and difficult stuff, you know, all the violence and all those kind of things, right? So I'd have to remind myself, no, you don't want to go back to that. Remember why you got out of it, right? So we just do that. We're kind of guilty of doing that. And, you know, and the thing about it is we can't look back at our lives pre-Christianity with faulty, selective, seductive memories, you know, thinking, boy, we had it good before we came to Christ. Man, back then I could do whatever I wanted. You know, I could go where I wanted. I could act like I wanted, right? And that was fun. That was being free. Well, what are we doing? Well, we're doing what the children of Israel did, right? They're saying they had it good back in their slavery. And we're doing the same thing. Right? We, like Israel, we murmur, we complain at times about our present life, but we don't remember the death sentence that we were under. Right? Living in sin and in slavery to that sin. John 15 and verse 19 is a reality that I think we forget sometimes. We want to think back and fool ourselves and think that the world used to love us. You know, Jesus said, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And also remember these passages here before we go on to our second of 3 points. Romans 6 verse 17, this is what we were without Christ. Right? It says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And then in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, this is what we were without hope. He says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And then in chapter 5 of Ephesians verse 8, this is what we were before, light. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And so we can't be guilty of looking back to slavery like Israel, faulty memories, deceiving ourselves, trying to paint a picture in our mind's eye that it was good. You know, we can't do that with those selective memories, forgetting the bad, remembering only the good, or, seductive memories that, you know, kind of seduce us back to that darkness and back to that slavery. We got to be very careful. Right, but let us, as in our text here, press towards the goal, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. All right, secondly, let's not be guilty of looking back like Lot's wife. Luke chapter 17. If you want to read along with me, Luke chapter 17, let's begin at verse 18. Rather make that verse 28. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate and they drank and they bought and they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Right, and so this example here, Jesus, that he gives us, uses 3 illustrations concerning watching and waiting for the day of judgment. Right, he uses Noah as an example. Secondly, he uses the example of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, where he says men were eating and drinking and living life. But then thirdly, right, he speaks of Lot's wife. And so the point here in Luke chapter 17 is that we should not be like Lot's wife. Why? Well, think about it, because Lot's wife wanted to look back to the old ways. She wanted to look back to what she was leaving. You know, she was leaving all of her life that she knew, everything that she wanted, not looking forward to her future salvation. Basically, she was looking back with an unhealthy longing. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, we read, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, right? So there's a lot of sin in the city that they're living in, a great environment of sin, and Lot's wife was looking back to that. Right, looking back to that filth with an unhealthy longing. Right, and you read of all the horrendous acts of homosexuality and filth and debauchery that infested those cities. And matter of fact, in chapter 19 and verse 15, right, the angels urge Lot and his wife to flee. Right, flee for your lives. Right, you need to escape with your lives from this destruction that is absolutely coming. And as we should, but against all logic, many times what we do is we look back with an unhealthy longing. Right? In verse 16 here in Genesis 19, we read, but he hesitated, he lingered, speaking a lot. And the angels, right, what do you see there? The angels had to seize him. Right? They're grabbing hold of him and saying, be careful, right? Don't go back. Why? Listen, God had a great love and compassion for them. He wanted them to be saved, right? Just like our God has great love and compassion for us, right? And the thing about it is, he's not going to force us to flee wickedness and destruction. We can flee that and come to safety, but we still have free will, and if we have an unhealthy longing, we can go back. He's not going to stop us. Right in verse 17 here, and the Lord's messenger said, escape for your life, don't look back. Right? Forget that sinful world that you're escaping from. And if you drop over to verse 26, but Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She didn't want to leave it behind. Right? Even after being saved, even after being warned, right? She was looking back with an unhealthy want, desire, right? But her goal, her prize, it was right before her. All she had to do is not look back. You know, she had salvation from destruction. All she had to do is reach forward, like Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, right? And be mindful, this is someone that had many blessings in her life, right? Part of Abraham's family. 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us that Lot was a righteous man. And, you know, Lot, wealthy, many privileges. She would have surely known of God's promises. She was given a warning, allowed to escape with her family, right? So she had many things, many blessings. But yet, she suffered because she had that unhealthy desire for what she was leaving. Before we go on to our third point, I want us to think about, you know, when we remember the pleasures of sin, I guess, that we had in our old life, it tempts us back to that old life. And we got to be very careful, right? We again, only selectively remember the good stuff, right? Fooling ourselves with seductive memories and thoughts. So let's make sure we're not guilty of looking back, but rather, again, press towards the goal, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Our third and final point, let's not be guilty of looking back like some almost disciples of Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. You have some folks here, they didn't count the cost of discipleship. So if you read it with me, Luke chapter 9, 57 to the end of the chapter. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So here we see three cases or three excuses, really, of not counting the cost. And so this is all about counting the cost and understanding that there's sacrifices to be made, right, if you're going to follow Jesus. So consider how many almost disciples Jesus almost had. I can't tell you how many times, but it's enough to, you know, just to stain my memory of individuals. I'm in the office, and it seems like just a heat of the moment thing. I want to be baptized, right? Or maybe the family's planned it or something like that, which is usually the first indication to me that they're probably not ready, right? If this was something that they planned in the past and they're making it into an event. I will never deny somebody that says they're ready to be baptized. I'll never deny that and say, no, I won't do it. For the most part, there are some exceptions, I think. But I tell them, I said, you got to count the cost. Right? Because Satan's going to absolutely start working on you. You have to be willing to count the cost. And I don't know how many times I've told him, you know, you got to be ready, you got to be ready. And I said, no, I'm ready, I'm going to make it, I'll stay strong. And, you know, I probably 10 times. That individual, you'll never see him again. Another 10 times, you know, you might see him a week or two. Another 10 times, they might come for a month and then sporadically, and within 6 months to a year, you never see him again. What happened? Well, I don't think they counted the cost. And that's very sad when that's the case. Mark chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. This discussion with the rich young ruler concerning following Jesus, we read, looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, the one thing that you lack, go and sell all you possess, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse 22. But at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he had great possessions, right? Great wealth, right? This rich young ruler was not willing to literally pay the cost, right? He was looking back to basically what he would be leaving, right? He didn't look forward to what Jesus promised him in verse 21, treasure in heaven. You see, looking forward with faith to that which we haven't seen with our physical eyes, that's hard. Looking back with what we have seen with our physical eyes, that's easy. And finally here, consider the parable of the sower and the soil. Chapter 4 of Mark, verses 3 through 12 here. And we're not going to read all of this. Basically, if we were to do a summary here, you know, we see that some seed fell by on the rocky soil, right? Or rocky ground, didn't have much soil. Immediately it sprung up because it had no depth. After the sun had risen, it was scorched. It was scorched because it had no root, and it withered away. And I'll let you make the application there concerning looking back, because when we look back, it keeps us from having proper roots, I believe. Right? Looking back keeps us from counting the cost fully. And here's the point. Make sure to not look back at your former life with too much pride or too much shame. I think each of those hinders us from finishing our Christian race, right? No matter what you were before you came to Christ, don't look back at it, too much pride or too much shame. And, you know, I think we can end up being held captive by our own past, right? Past victories and past failures. And, you know, I like to always say, let your past be a rudder, not an anchor. Right? Our past, if we let it, can lead to unproductive service. And one thing here before we have our conclusion, I'll throw this out there. And I've heard people say in general, I don't remember who or what, and I don't think it's the worst thing. I'm guilty of it also. But I would just ask the older brethren to be wise in having the discussion, because I hear it different ways. I don't want to upset anyone, like I'm saying this is a terrible thing. But I hear the older brethren say many times, oh, back in the day, I remember when we had 500 people here every Sunday morning. Oh, I remember for VBS, we had 200 kids. Oh, I remember the bus ministry. We didn't have enough buses. Boy, we had 300 kids coming every week. You know, and things like that. You know, I don't think it does any good. And I think it'd be harmful to newer or younger brethren. Right? Maybe they're thinking they're doing something wrong. And, you know, we can't rest on previous victories or previous failures. Right? I think the thing about it is, what about today? What can I do today to bring in more families with kids? You know, what actions can I take? right? You know, or, you know, even be honest, like, what should I have done back in the day when there was 200 kids? You know, where did they go? What could I have I done to make sure that didn't happen, right? So I think just be careful of kind of throwing out statements like that. I think it kind of, it's not very uplifting. And so just use wisdom with that. So I thought I'd just mention that. So as we finish up here tonight, I want you to read chapter 3 and verse 20 of Philippians here. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, again, Hebrews 12 and verse 2, if we fix our eyes on the goal, on the prize, remember that our citizenship is in heaven, that'll keep us from always wanting to look back and break our stride and slow us down and encourage our adversary, right? If we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, where our citizenship is, you know, then we're not going to be guilty. Like Israel, who forgot about their slavery, thinking only of the good, or guilty like Lot's wife, who looked back at a sinful environment with unhealthy longing, or be guilty like the almost disciples who did not count the cost. And so if we're never going to move forward in our upward call, we're never going to move forward full force, move without distraction, unless we understand this to be true. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Right? And we need to forget those things in our past that are destructive. I know we can't literally erase them from our minds, but don't just sit there and dwell on those past failures. I think that's a tool of Satan to keep us from moving forward. Right? Again, we're using it as an anchor, not a rudder. Right? You can't forget those things. You know, they were mistakes. You know, I owned up to them. I humbled myself before God, and I'm pressing forward. Right, and remember that we have a God of second chances, right? In Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, he says, "And I will remember their sins no more." So God forgives, God forgets. You get to start over. Stop looking back. If you're here this evening and you are subject to the gospel invitation, and listen, I come across people that won't obey the gospel because they had such a terrible past. Right? And they're thinking, you know, there's no way God will ever forgive me. Right? There's no way I could ever be good enough. And that's the whole point. You can never be good enough apart from Christ. And everybody can be forgiven, so everyone can start over. And if you're subject to the gospel invitation to be immersed into Christ, let's do that. Let's talk about that. Let's study. Or if you've done that and you've fallen away, God's a God of second chances. You'll be reconciled to him this evening. If we can help you in any way, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.